wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. The everlasting burnings. That's my subject caused some of you to say, I don't want to hear about those everlasting burnings. Hold it, neighbor. If you lived in the area of a volcano that was quiet and peaceful for years, and yet today a car speeds to your farm home, they rush to your door and cry to you to flee for your life. That volcano is erupting, and you'll soon be buried under its hot ashes. Would you shut the door in their face and say, I don't want to hear about any hot ashes? Surely you would not. Then don't shut off this message of emergency and of warning to you. In the center of the Bible and the middle of Isaiah's wonderful prophecy of salvation, we read these words, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? What a solemn challenge. Two questions that we must all face. They cannot be ignored. Before considering the Zion and the us in the verse and of our day, we will look at what is called the heathen world. They report that 1% or 2% have turned Christian. But I fear, after many years of evangelizing in those lands with our gospel literature in the hands of native evangelists, that very few of that 2% are born again children of God going to heaven. They were told that God loved them and Christ died for them to give them eternal life. That sounded so inviting, they signed up. But were they faced with their wicked sins of which they must repent? Were they shown they were on the broad road going down to hellfire? Were they led to confess that they deserved to be tormented in hellfire for their God-defiant sins? And did they surrender to Jesus Christ to be their Lord, to obey his word? Were they challenged to lose all for Christ's sake? Thank God, if 1 in 50 was really converted to God. So now we turn to lands where the gospel of Christ has been heard for centuries. As I realize more and more that these messages are those of the Holy Spirit of God for our time and for these conditions of the last days, I ask that you will hear them with an open mind and heart. It was just yesterday that a neighbor of ours was found dead in the house, and he had died in his sins. Where is he now? By God's word, we know that he is in hellfire, and in those torments, he is crying for a drop of water to cool his tongue. For years he lived in awful sin, then he quit his liquor and cigarettes, then lusting after a woman, he got a harlot to come and live in his house. He returned to his liquor and cigarettes as they caroused together. Then he was found dead in the house. I recall some of my experiences with him. Once, seeing him on his porch, I went to him and said, "Neighbor, you're not very busy today." He agreed. Then I said, "I want you to do something that will do you the greatest good, and you will ever be so thankful you did it. But if you do not do it, you will live to regret it." As he wondered what it was, I said, "Neighbor, go into the house and get down on your knees and confess to God your life of wicked sins and cry to him to show you his mercy. Then call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you and change you to live for God." But he made no move. Another time I saw him tinkering with some little tool. I went over and told him how he looked to me like a man that was sawing trees, and his chainsaw cut deep into his leg, so the blood was gushing out, and he sat down on the log and played with his fingernails. "Neighbor, you are on the broad road going down to hellfire, and soon you'll be in those tormenting flames, and you are tinkering with those little tools. You ought to stop everything and attend to the need of your soul to get right with God and be saved from hellfire by the Lord Jesus Christ." He agreed, yes, yes, but made no move to seek the Lord. How tragic. Our Lord Jesus revealed the broad road as crowded with the many, while the narrow road of life had only the few. It was so in his day, and even more so in these last days. As I declare these facts, remember, I am speaking from experiences in my 60 years in the ministry of the gospel, in which I have personally challenged thousands as to their relationship to God and salvation. And in those years, I have carried on a vast international outreach of the gospel by literature, and now also by tape libraries. From that experience, I have reached these conclusions. As to the Jews, millions of them are rationalists and have no time for God or religion. To get money is their goal. A few Orthodox Jews remain, but they count Jesus of Nazareth a false prophet and not their promised Messiah. No wonder I doubt if more than 1 in 1,000 of them, the world around, is heaven bound. Now we come to the Roman Catholics. To visit countries where they have control, we would find pagan idolatry, and with it the most degraded immorality, and all condoned by the Church. Surely we would hunt in vain to find 1 in 1,000 of their members that were saved. No wonder, since their Pope himself blasphemes the Holy Spirit and hath never forgiveness, as the Lord Jesus said of such. For he usurps the authority of the Spirit of God, as he claims that he is the vicar of Christ on earth, when the Lord Jesus appointed that position to God the Holy Spirit alone. And how can a Roman Catholic be a real Christian when he eats a cracker, which he claims to be the very body of Christ, and a cracker has power to make him right with God? And such cracker eating will bless him after he's dead. The faith that saves is in the living Christ himself and alone, and not in a cracker or in going to a priest to forgive your sins, when the Bible says, who can forgive sins but God only? To be a true Roman Catholic, believing its dogmas and practicing its idolatry, puts one on the broad road to hellfire. When Rome boasts of its many members, she is but identifying them with the many our Lord told us as being on the broad road. The devil has deceived them by what calls itself the Church. My heart is moved with compassion for them, and I've had the joy of leading some of them to know that peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we come to Protestants. What about them? I am including all the denominations of them the world around. I don't believe 1 in 50 of them is saved and heaven-bound. They are church-centered and not Christ-centered. They love their church and are ready to fight anyone who exposes their church, while one can blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ and not be challenged. They do not love Jesus and his gospel and want to see people saved. I ought to know, after battling with them wherever I pitched my gospel tent and souls were saved. They confess, I love my church, and I give it my tithes, and I work for my church. I'm proud of my church. The Bible, C-H-R-I-S-T, they spell C-H-U-R-C-H. I have questioned them as to salvation into the thousands, and not 1 in 25 even mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ, but it was their church and their church work. Did such ever repent of their sins as deserving to be cast into hellfire? Of such the Lord Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all perish. No wonder I conclude that not more than 1 in 50 have known that faith in Christ that saves the soul and causes one to confess the Lord Jesus and not a church. If such people are going to heaven, then the Lord Jesus must be a presumptuous deceiver. For he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, not by me and your church, nor by me and your good life, not by me and anything or anyone, but by me and me alone. His glory as the one and only Savior he will not share with a cracker or a church, a preacher or a pope. To add anything to Christ Jesus the Lord as the one and all sufficient Savior is to leave one hopelessly lost. For he is fallen from grace, and Christ shall profit him nothing, as the Bible says. He is without Christ, without God, and having no hope. Such people do not go to heaven, but to hellfire. Surely it is time to cry arbors. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Now let us take a look at the converts of preachers who preach Christ as the only Savior and the one who is able to save them to the uttermost who come unto God by Him and by Him alone. Yes, and preachers who warn of hellfire and who insist on personal repentance and surrender to Christ as Lord to obey. The preaching was sound Bible gospel. The Spirit of God worked and honored it by people really getting saved. Paul was that kind of a preacher. Were all those who professed conversion under Paul's preaching going to heaven? No, for he so doubted some of them, he wrote to them, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith." Among Paul's converts were some sinners and hypocrites. And even among those who professed to believe under our Lord's ministry, he said to some of them, "Ye seek to kill me. Ye are of your father the devil." And even among his 12 disciples, there was a Judas Iscariot, of whom he said, "One of you is a devil." I now stand to be tested. I have preached the full gospel, keeping nothing back of all the word of God. I have never tried to pull perfection out of anyone. I never had an altar call or any public exhibition of converts. In no way did I ever encourage anyone to make a profession, but I directed them to get alone with the living God and settle these matters in His presence. Yet, among those who were saved under my ministry and whom I baptized, there were some sinners and hypocrites. Oh, my neighbor, were you a convert of Peter or Paul, or of John the Baptist or of Philip the Evangelist? That does not make you one of God's saints going to heaven. But instead, you may hear the Lord Jesus say to you, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Now is your time for you to be sure that you're a real Christian in the heart and in the life and in a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. On your knees in God's presence, in all honesty, ask God, "Am I going to those everlasting burnings?" And if you are, then throw away all your past professions and all you ever trusted in, and as a lost, hell-deserving sinner, cry to the Lord Jesus to save you now. One who will know and show that He is the Lord's. Let us now face the facts. There is a hellfire. This is not symbolic language and is no parable. It is a Bible revelation of a real fire, a fire with flames, a fire of torments, a fire that is everlasting fire, and where people in full consciousness suffer everlasting punishment as the Lord Jesus Himself revealed it to us. Did the Lord Jesus really believe all He told us about that fire? Did He? It was that which brought Him down from heaven and led Him to endure the awful wrath of God on Calvary's cross to save us. And do I believe those frightful figures of the many on the broad road and the few on the narrow road? Do I? I believe them so much I am laboring day and night to get the gospel of Christ to them by our millions of printed messages, thousands of our tapes, and postage bills that run into the $1,000s. So no one can think that the sight of a lost world of precious souls gets only a passing glance from me. And I receive no salary, nor does any organization sponsor me. It is the love of God that in compassion moves me. Some think that no fire can burn without burning itself out. Let Moses tell you of that little thorn bush that burned and burned and kept burning. And in heaven, there's a big ball of fire. It has been there longer than man has existed, for thousands of years. Its flames, that look like rays of light to us, are 200 miles long, not feet, but miles. Its heat is so great that we can hardly bear it, even though we are 93 million, not 100, 93 million of miles away from it. Is it then hard to believe that God has a hellfire of everlasting burnings? God has a fire, like it or hate it, believe it or fight it. It is a fact of divine revelation. and people are in that fire. What do they do there? What do they have? They have their memory of how they rejected their Savior and neglected His great salvation. They have their conscience, and they can never shut it up. As it says, remember how you, as it recalls their life of sin. They have their feelings, and with nothing to dope them from hell's torments. They have their senses, so they see, they speak, and they hear. Now here is what they do not have. Not a drop of water to cool their burning thirst. Not a breath of air as they gasp for air. Not a ray of light, but only the blackness of darkness forever. Not a thread of hope, but all is hopeless despair, and not a friend to help them. They turned down Jesus, the friend they so desperately needed, and now in eternity they have not a friend to comfort or help them. Neighbor, what do these revelations of God's eternal word mean to you? Now listen to me good. If you do not believe that there's a hellfire, then you are surely going there. And a big surprise, as Isaiah says, is ahead for you, as the verse says, as you find it exactly as God warned you. And it is more frightful than words could describe. Every person, whether an Adventist or a Jehovah's Witness or a Christian Science, a modernist or an infidel, who does not believe there's a hellfire, is going there. With clever arguments, you may think that you've done away with hellfire. But as the Bible says, hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. And as Jesus Christ warned, ye hypocrites, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? You ask, are you sure of all that? Of nothing could I be more certain. Years ago, a clever Adventist had a big meeting in our city, and he tried to bypass hellfire. A man came to me, being troubled about his soul under my ministry, and then going to hear that deceiver. He asked, cannot I be saved without believing there's a hellfire? I showed him that was impossible. Salvation is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Your faith is in another Jesus, one of your own imagination. You say, I will receive Jesus as the way to God and the life I need, but I will not accept all he said is the truth. The Christ who saves is the way, the truth, and the life. A and D. The three go together. All three or none. Any man who does not believe that there's a hellfire of eternal torments, he is going to hellfire, no matter who he is, preacher or lawyer, man, woman, or youth. I must tell you the truth. If I saw you going down a road and the bridge had been washed away in a storm, would I not cry to you to stop? But this is worse than that. You're about to step off into a furnace of fire to be tormented in its agonizing flame forever. Oh, sinner man, turn from your sins to the Lord Jesus to save you from your sins and the hellfire you deserve, and do it now. Now I have more to tell you. You won't go to heaven unless you confess you deserve to go to hellfire. That's right. The verse says the sinners in Zion. Does that take you in? Whether in Zion or in Jericho, whether a church house or a nightclub, you are a sinner before God, deserving his judgment. Do you reply, I'm a sinner, but I'm not such a bad sinner I deserve to go to hellfire. A big surprise is just down the road for you. For you, the proud sinner, you will be cast into hellfire. Face that solemn truth and flee from the wrath to come to Jesus to save you. I am not hiding these certainties from you, nor sugaring them down to please you. Hear it again. You, yes, Y-O-U, will never go to heaven unless you confess you deserve to go to hell. If you retaliate with, do you deserve to go to hellfire? I do. And I came to Jesus as one deserving those awful burnings. I just received a letter from an evangelist in Africa telling me of his salvation. while teaching Bible lessons in a college and thinking himself a pretty good person. Under the preaching of New Life for All Crusade, he confessed he was going to hell fire. Then it was that the Lord Jesus saved him. When the Lord Jesus saved me, I realized I deserved to go to hellfire for my pride and rebellion against God and my self-will and in the guilt of my sins. But if you will not so repent before God, then one day death will lay hold of you and take you on a journey. If you ask, where are you taking me? Death will answer, I'm taking you where God has consigned you to go, and he warned you of it. I'm taking you to hellfire. Oh, what a surprise. I hope before that day you will so realize your true condition and condemnation that you will cry to God for his mercy to save you from your sins. Yes. And to save you from your pride. Yes. And to save you from hellfire too. But who can save you from hellfire? All the churches of the world together cannot save even one soul from hellfire. Only the Lord Jesus can save you from hellfire, and he alone. No two words are truer than these. Jesus saves. Let us herald them over every land the world around. And no two words are more needed in our generation. Here is the procedure. The church members go out from door to door to increase their membership. They knock at the door. We are taking a census. What church do you belong to? None. Oh, you ought to have a church home. It will mean so much for your whole family. We have a fine church and will welcome you. Come on Sunday and join our church. So they do. They do not preach to them about repentance toward God, for likely they have not repented themselves. The new family is now religiously proud, and they can tell of the church they've joined. Is this a step toward God and salvation? No, just the opposite. The miracle is not when the prisoner in the jail gets saved, but when the church member is born again. Churches have deceived souls and led many to hellfire, but no church ever saved one from going there. Who are these who preach so much about hellfire? The great prophet of salvation, Isaiah, is the very one who warns of the everlasting burnings. The New Testament introduces us to the greatest prophet, John the Baptist. Did he preach hellfire? He even consigned some of Abraham's children to the fire, as he warned all to flee from the wrath to come. At this point, some object and say, we in our church don't go for that kind of preaching. We preach Jesus as the Lamb of God, so gentle and kind, you know. John did point people to Jesus as the Lamb of God and told them that he was the very one who would cast people into that unquenchable fire. And Paul, the chiefest apostle, cried, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. We go now to John, the apostle of love. You say, I like to read John. He tells us of God's love. But read on into John's last book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. What have we there? It is fire, fire, fire. And so agonizing that people gnaw their tongues in pain under the wrath of God. And who executes all those judgments? He is Jesus, to whom God has given all judgment. And in that book, he is so often revealed as the Lamb. It tells of men begging the mountains to hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. That's right, the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The Savior, the Lamb of God rejected, brings that same Lamb of God executing the wrath of Almighty God. Neighbor, choose wisely, for it is for you and for me to know his eternal love or his unbearable wrath forever. Then what did Jesus Christ, the Son of God, preach? All the prophets and apostles of the Bible together did not preach as much about hellfire as did the Lord Jesus himself. Hellfire is a fundamental doctrine of the Word of God, and one cannot be saved who will not believe the Bible. It is the preaching of Jesus Christ himself, and there's no Christianity where hellfire is omitted. What kind of a fire did Jesus reveal to us? He said it was everlasting punishment in everlasting fire. And all who do iniquity shall be cast into a furnace of fire. And he said it was a fire where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. He told us of a man in hell who cried, I am tormented in this flame. For in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. How can you be a Christian and count Jesus a deceiver and a liar? It is impossible. Because I am a Christian, and because I am a minister of Christ, I will, I must, to my last breath, warn men of that hellfire Jesus revealed. Now, what are you, Y-O-U, going to do about all this? Our verse reveals that no man can deceive God. He spots all the sinners and the hypocrites too. Did not our Lord spot them when he said, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! How can ye escape the damnation of hell? So it is well for each one of us to first get into God's presence and there to see ourselves as God sees us, by his standards, and to examine ourselves to be sure we shall never go to hellfire. I deserve to go there. But when I repented of my sins, the Lord Jesus plucked me as a brand from the burning. He saved me. I believe what he said about hellfire because he said it. And I now believe that I'm saved forever from hellfire because he said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He that is of God heareth God's word in its entirety, not just the parts of the Bible we like. Because it is God's word, I bow to it and say, Let God be true and every man a liar. I believe it not because I like it, and not because I understand it, or can explain it, but because the God who cannot lie said it, and he will do it. Oh, my neighbor, give no sleep to your eyes and no food to your body until you know for a certainty that the Lord Jesus has saved you from hellfire. And he assures you, you shall never perish. I have saved you to be with me in heaven and to behold my glory. Then one day in heaven above, you and I shall together give all the praise to the Lord Jesus for saving us from the everlasting burnings. Let Jesus wear the crown, for he is worthy. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman. Let us pray. Our blessed God and Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we beseech thee to take this message of thy Holy Spirit around the world, and as sinners and hypocrites hear it, they will flee from the wrath to come and find salvation in thy Son, Jesus, the only one who can save us from hellfire, those everlasting burnings. Amen.
There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of his Spirit is lost. And you hurry along with the pleasure-mad throng. Have you counted? Have you counted?